Hello, and welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast, your weekly dose of inspiration and exploration. Join me, your host, Sam Harris, as I discover how mindset can help you do incredible things through my conversations with the world's most interesting people, from tech billionaires to leading scientists, best-selling authors to notorious hackers. The goal is to increase our collective wisdom and attitudes to make us all happier and healthier, wiser and wealthier. Who doesn't want that? Okay, so I think I found a better place to do this from. Hopefully the light isn't too bad. I'm kind of out of the window. Oh shit, I'm gonna fall off. Jesus. Nice. Okay, so today I really wanted to talk about technology and the weird things it's doing to us, and really outline three hugely fundamental problems that are stressing us out and making us bad at being humans, which is kind of what we're supposed to be good at, because after all, we are humans. Okay, so as a biologist and psychologist, I'm really interested in evolutionary psychology, which is kind of how the two combine. And it really presents some interesting fundamental principles about how our brain works and why. And so I've got 2 points to make here. When humans evolved, we were in like a quite dangerous situation in our tribes, and you know, we were looking out for problems, and but a lot of the time, you know, things were fairly similar, and so any changes in our environment we were really hypersensitive for, because there might be something that would kill us, and there wasn't a lot of differences. So the occasional difference that was there, we'd be like, holy crap, this is a huge thing, I need to do something about it. And there's means that our brains are like hypersensitive for any kind of like to-do lists that seem important and such. And so the way this relates now to technology is that we've got this infinite to-do list in our pocket. So on your phone, you've got, you know, Facebook and Instagram and all these kind of social media things that you could endlessly be on. And then if you're into education and these things, then you've got unlimited podcasts and YouTube and just so much stuff, books, blogs. Like, I use Pocket and it just sends me emails every day of amazing blogs that I haven't read, and I feel constant anxiety that I need to read. And basically your brain has evolved to be like sensitive to all of this stuff, and that it wants to be reading it. And when you walk around with a phone in your pocket, it's like this like alarm bell going off constantly that you need to be doing something. So that's one fundamental thing from my evolution about us. Number two is that we are evolved to be lazy. So even like our body structure, from apes that used to be on the ground, we wanted to be able to cover greater distances, so we ended up becoming bipedal, as in walking on 2 feet. And essentially that means that we save like a pack of biscuits a week in terms of energy, but that's like a big difference evolutionary wise, and it changed the way our bone structure is and how we go about the world. But it's the same with our brains, in that whenever we can take a shortcut, we always do, because we want to save mental energy. We don't want to be thinking about like the million things around us if we can just be thinking about one thing. And we learn to shut out lots of stuff and to take the easier option whenever possible, because it, for the most part, seems kind of stupid to be thinking about a million things when you only need to be thinking about like the most important thing. But this does also cause problems, in that we won't choose to do the harder thing with our own like motivation and determination. If there's always an easier option, we'll always take it. And so our environment's really important, because if the environment presents something that's easy, you'll always take it. And it's quite hard to battle with your environment. So if you're trying to lose weight and you've got lots of really tasty snacks around you and donuts that have this brilliant smell, it's hard to resist them. But if you just put yourself in an environment where that's not a problem, then it's, well, if it's just not around, then it's not such a difficult thing to resist it. Whereas, and then the reason this relates to technology is that when you stop for a second and you realize you haven't got anything to do, you're like, oh, my brain wants to do something, and you have this very easy solution to give it something to do. using your phone. You can go onto Facebook, you can check your email or whatever. And you kind of train yourself to do this over just like basic feedback loops. Quite quickly, you discover that your phone will always give you something useful to do, and you don't have to like think about what to do next, because if it'll just like come up with some magic straight away. Whereas if you don't have this on you the whole time, you have 5 minutes to think about what's most important in your life, or to come up with ideas and all this kind of stuff. And that's hugely useful. So this is another thing that I wanted to kind of just outline as a principle before I go into like my three biggest tips about technology and its problems. And this leads into like a nice kind of analogy about, let's say you're at work and weirdly a little toddler appears out of nowhere. No one else can seem to see it or anything. And this toddler wants to play with you, and it wants to go and like jump in puddles and like look at flowers, or in my case, jump in flowers and, you know, just look at puddles. I don't want to jump in them, at least not when I was a toddler anyway. And it asks you like lots of annoying questions, like why is the sky blue, and why are baked beans considered healthy and SpaghettiOs aren't? I mean, they're almost the same thing. They probably grow on the same tree. And like, why do people care about flowers if you're not allowed to jump in them? Like, it's bonkers. And you're like, what? Toddler, go away. I'm trying to work. This is really annoying. This is not helping me. And so you give this toddler an iPad, and it actually prefers the iPad to you, to be honest. It's like, oh yeah, cool, awesome. It stops distracting you and you can get on with your work. That's nice. Double win for you. Except for, actually, this toddler is your brain, and you aren't even at work. You just think you are, because the whole time you have a phone in your pocket, you feel like you could be working or doing something, and you completely ignore like your actual brain that's trying to work out what's going on in the world and learn about things. And you essentially just distract yourself with this technology straight away. Is like an easy solution to avoid ever actually thinking about your real problems, and to make yourself, give yourself the illusion of doing work, as a bit of an analogy. And I kind of liked it, so I thought I would present that. And yeah, I think it's a really big problem that we just feel that we constantly have stuff to do that maybe isn't so important. And now I want to talk about what I would say are my three biggest problems with technology. Is that, number one, it warps our sense of importance. So like I said, we feel like we're at work all the time. And, you know, when you've got emails on your phone, it's like an endless wave of stuff. As in, even if you answer all of them really quickly and you somehow get to inbox zero, 20 minutes later, you'll still be checking your email because there might be something else there. And it will never end. And you feel like that's important to be to looking at these things. And then, you know, your Facebook, if you post a lot, you suddenly have all other people responding to them and things, and you feel like this is really important that you need to be dealing with this stuff. And if you're traveling, you know, you'll take like a great photo or something and you post it on your friends, and you spend a lot of time on your device talking to these people and thinking about how to make the best photo so it looks like you're having a great time. And you spend very little time actually taking in the amazing environment that you're in, and like getting to know real people there and doing the actual important thing that you've traveled all this way to come and do. You're not doing that. You're just talking to your friends, showing them how good you're hypothetically having as a nice time. That was a balls up of a sentence. How good a time you're hypothetically having, although you're actually not, because you're standing in queues to go and do things because there's a bunch of other million people who want to take a photo of the same thing and not actually experience it either. And it's bonkers. And we just have this weird sense of what we want to be doing that is totally not in line with actually being a human being that's happy. And the amount of stress that people go through when they're being tourists is insane. Like, I don't understand why people even go on holiday half the time when they've got a week. They just sort of fly places super urgently and get stressed and then go and queue up for things, and they don't really seem to do any of like the important thing. And it's really weird. And so I think technology is kind of slightly ruining holiday experiences, because we're trying to like create this weird sense of what we think is a holiday and not actually enjoying it as such. And then we also miss out on like real life connections, as in when you're hanging out with your friends or you're going out for dinner or you're with your family, and yet you're talking to these people who aren't there the whole time. And why are you talking to these people who aren't there? Because of when you do actually go and meet them, if they are more important, then you're also not talking to them when you're with them either, because of you're talking to someone else. And that's just really stupid. Like, you're never actually present. You're never that close as a connection or being fully yourself. And it's just completely pointless. And it's very silly. And it kind of leads to some of the more fundamental issues of, like, 50 years ago, Americans used to have, like, 3 really close friends on average that they could go to in an emergency. And now, statistically, over 50% of people don't have any close friends that they can go to in an emergency. And it's really sort of making people more lonely as we have this, like, list of many more connections, but they're all much weaker and not so real. And yeah, I just feel that technology has changed what should be important to what we think is important. And it's just creating this weird illusion for us. So yes, that's one huge problem with technology. And then number 2 is it stresses us out. And we don't necessarily realize this, but we feel like it's actually helping us with our stress. If I can constantly be answering my email and like having less of these things on my to-do list and be catching up on like all these podcasts and reading these amazing blogs and stuff, I'm like, cool, I'm kind of catching up with the world, and like, that's important. Like, I'd be stressed if I wasn't doing this. But actually, it's constantly stressing me out doing these things. And I always feel like I'm behind, and I'm constantly acknowledging how many amazing bloggers there are that I'm not, and they're doing all these things that I'm not doing. And, you know, if you're on Facebook and you see all your friends that are going to Bali and Thailand and India and other ones that are getting PhDs or like curing cancer or something, and you're like, shit, I'm not doing any of these things, I'm useless. And your other friend's like an entrepreneur that's just raised £1 million, and you're like, oh fuck, I'm not that rich, I'm not doing any of this. And it that stresses us out. And we just have this whole world of like people, well, this whole world of things that we're not as good at, constantly telling us, well, this device constantly telling us that we aren't as good as we should be, which is hugely stressful. And then it's giving us this infinite to-do list, which is also stressing us out, back to the evolutionary psychology of wanting to deal with anything that's in our environment that might be a problem for us. And so it's kind of like constantly carrying around a shot of cortisol in your pocket, because it's just there blaring you with all these problems that actually aren't as real as you think they are. And it's a nightmare. And as well as providing you stress, it also reduces your sleep. Like, we already know that like the blue screens is a problem, but then it also presenting you with just the general stress in your life also reduces your ability to sleep. And if you're not sleeping so well, that stresses you out, because if you're not creating such good well, when you sleep, it helps you with your memory formation and like repair and body, and everything is better after you've slept well. And you think more smartly. But then if you're not sleeping so well, this is like another just feedback loop of you're not going to be making the right decisions, and you're going to have a weaker mind, and you're going to be doing all the wrong things. And then technology is there to help you do all these things wrong. And so it's like a massive conundrum of just reinforcement, which is annoying. So yes, number 2 is technology stresses us out and it isn't good for us or healthy. And then number 3 is that it makes us stupid, I would say. So how I explained that we always try and take the weaker option, well, the easier option, because we are fundamentally kind of weak, but I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but humans get better and improve through difficulty and through like harsher situations. So, you know, if you want to be strong, you need to go to the gym and work out. If you want to be, if you want your kids to grow up and have a really good sense of money and what's important in life, it helps if you're not rich. And if they actually have some stress to deal with in their life, if they grow up in this like really easy, safe environment, they never really know how to fend for themselves or what the value of money is. And it's kind of a bit of an awkward problem, really. And just thinking about technology and how this has affected me, like 10 years ago, I was 18, 19, and I had a gap year, and I went to America, and I drove across America with just a compass. And that sounds like kind of insane these days that I went across like one of the hugest countries on the planet and drove around it without any form of navigation device except for a compass. And this compass, it turns out, didn't really work. So actually, it was just me. I drove all the way from Seattle to somewhere in the south. Good, nice memory. Me being weak again with my mind. Let's just say Los Angeles for now. I drove this very long distance, thinking that my compass was working because it was always pointing south and it was sat on my dashboard. And it turns out I then started heading towards Texas, which is east, and my compass was still pointing south. And actually, the whole time, the compass had been on my dashboard and there was like a magnet underneath it that just made it point south. So I wasn't even looking at it, it turns out. And I only realized that having the compass on the dashboard was not helpful or giving me any kind of navigation navigational information. You can drive across the whole of America, you can get to hostels, you can get to like nice interesting places and see the whole country without any form of navigation device if you want to. And yet that seems quite bonkers these days. We feel like we could never do that. And technology has just sort of forced us to become dependent on it, and we've just never learned the skill of navigation anymore. And then similarly, as a coder, I found a really interesting story of in the 70s and 80s, America with a stock exchange was really interested in employing Russian coders because if they came from a background where they didn't have such access to computing devices. So the coding at university, they kind of did it all by hand, and they had like very minimal time with a computer compared to their American counterparts. And so they learned to not make mistakes because of the value of a mistake meant that like they couldn't run their program for another few days. And they learned to memorize everything so that they wouldn't have to like refer back to stuff because they had a very short amount of time on the computer. If they were ever to be able to make a change, they just had to have complete access to everything that they needed to know. Whereas any normal coder is just used to looking at Google and doesn't really remember anything exactly. They just sort of vaguely know how to search for it and just instantly come up with a solution. But it's not as fast as just having it in your brain, and it's not as reliable. And I just found it quite funny that these people were so much more valuable because they'd actually been through this hardship to actually develop a much greater skill than just having a soft option available to them. And so I think technology, we just rely on it as a crutch, and it does just make us more stupid and weaker. And as I outlined in my last lecture, it stops us from thinking for ourselves. And like with this toddler story that I told, we are used to just not even trying to work out what's on our to-do list and what's the most important, because if we just instantly have this thing telling us what it is straight away all the time, and we don't have time to have our own ideas because we just have other people's thoughts and things in our head constantly. We're not taking time out at all. You know, when you go on a run, when you're cooking, whatever you're doing, you're sort of listening to a podcast or distracting yourself with stuff. You're not listening to your own thoughts and having your own ideas. And this is really terrible if you want to change the world and be someone of like real influence. And yeah, this is quite disastrous. And so one thing I outlined was to use, well, just to force yourself to have breaks from listening to content or consuming content or engaging in anything. Like, I personally have already deleted email and social media from my phone. And I actually did this as an experiment to be like, oh, I'll do like the 1 month with none of these things on my phone, and like I'll blog about it afterwards, and like I'll obviously have them all back. And then after about 2 weeks, I was just like, oh, I'm just really happy, and like I have more space, and this is nice. And I just kind of forgot about the whole thing. I was just like, yeah, my phone is now a device that doesn't do this, and that's nice. And genuinely, it's such a big improvement in life, and I've just been having more ideas and more time for myself and things. And yeah, you should definitely try doing these things, or like banning yourself from it for a bit, and it'll really help you. And spending some more time actually thinking your own thoughts. And okay, so it might be hard to just blanket just not look at anything and take 10 minutes out. So you can, you know, accept that you are a human and you are a bit weaker, because that's the fundamentals of how you work. So things like meditation apps, you know, it actually at least forces you to do it. It's something there, it's your environment, and there'll be a nice man that tells you to do it and will sort of guide you through these things, rather if you can't just sit for 10 minutes or like do it without some help. And then like the five minute journal, like, makes you think about what you can be grateful for in your life and what you're excited for, and it just makes you realize what makes you happy and what's important. And if you do that every day, that's huge. And sure, I mean, it's like, it's a bit weaker than just knowing what to be, you should be grateful for and everything. But actually, I think it should be just a part of anyone's life if they want to be happier. And hopefully these are the kind of things that will then spark you to then take bigger steps and go and do more stuff by yourself without anything at all. And that, I think, outlines everything I really wanted to talk about. And I hope that you enjoyed this and realize the importance of putting yourself through some more hardship, through working out what is really important in your life versus what you think is important just because your phone is telling you it's important. And that, you know, phones are just making you stupid and not in touch with yourself, and well, any device really, and that you should be putting yourself through a bit more hardship and giving your brain a bit more of a workout wherever possible if you actually want to become like a greater, more meaningful human, which is all quite big and epic. And it's kind of nice that I'm here in Nazareth, and the fact that we are now kind of just worshipping the whole digital devices and things rather than like other things, it's just poignant and nice to talk about these things. And I hope that this lecture helped you and changes the way you think about things. And genuinely, like, starting to talk about this has sort of stressed me out about how much stress my phone is causing me, and it is kind of ironic. And I've been looking through my emails that I thought I was quite someone that wasn't affected by email, especially since I've deleted it from my phone and things, and like I don't subscribe to newsletters, so I thought. But actually, I'm bonkers. I've got so many newsletters of things that I really don't need to be hearing about, and I follow lots of people who are kind of doing things like me or maybe better than me, and I'm kind of obsessed with the stuff that I really shouldn't be. And yeah, it's just been quite enlightening, like, now thinking about stuff from this perspective and how damaging it is to me. So I really would do hope that you kind of take some time out after this lecture to think about your life and what your technology is for and what you want it for and what is the most important thing for you, and really looking at yourself in the mirror rather than letting technology distract you from even ever doing that. Okay, before I just ramble on about stuff, now is a good time to end. So thank you very much for listening, and yeah, good luck changing the world and changing yourself, and go people, take it easy. You've just listened to an episode of the Growth Mindset Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe on your preferred app and give me a good rating, as these go a really long way. If you are unable to give good feedback right now, try sharing the show with a friend who will, or just wait for the show to improve. If you have any ideas for the show, or you just want to chat, then please reach out to me on Twitter at SamHarrisTweets or Instagram at SamJamSnaps. Show notes and other links to topics discussed in the episodes are available at the website, growthmindsetpodcast.com. Thanks so much for listening. Give yourself a big hug from me. If you're with a friend, give them a hug as well. And I hope you enjoy your next podcast.